Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's Friday, April 4th, 2025. Today we're reading Big Book. We're finishing up into action. We're on page 88, the second paragraph, and we're going to read two paragraphs, starting with "We Alcoholics Are Undisciplined," and it ends with "Entirely Devoted to the 12th Step." All right, our readers, 12 steps, 10th and P, the 12 traditions, and what's the G? Reading the text is Judith S.P. Page 164, Nancy R. Backup readers, Katie G. Newcomer readers, Tony B. Second hour host is Jeannie B. And Kathy S. is going to take care of announcements. Our share IDs, the reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, April 3rd, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,313. That's 22313. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,314. So 22314. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supported through our own contributions, either soliciting or accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through this 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and a practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I've asked Tenzin P. to read the 12 steps for us today.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Denton. Next up is Melissa G. with the traditions.
Hi, this is Melissa G. from Michigan, compulsive overeater. Okay, number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public means of public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks. Have a good meeting.
Thanks, Melissa. Thanks, Tenzin, for taking care of that for us. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we are ending the chapter of Into Action. We're on page 88, the second paragraph, starting with "We Alcoholics are Undisciplined," and it ends with "Entirely Devoted to Step 12." And we're sharing on both of those paragraphs. So Judith S.P. is going to take care of the reading for us. Start us off.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, fellows. My name is Judith S.P. in Maryland, truly grateful and recovered from compulsive eating at this moment. Thank you, God. We alcoholics are undisciplined. We let God discipline us in the simple ways we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. Two short paragraphs, packed full. Each sentence could be a share. I, as many I've heard on this line, thought I was very disciplined. You know, I got up every day, put my feet on the ground, rushed around like a chicken without a head, and just barreled through, as we some people had shared the other day, plowing through instead of pausing. Really a wreckage I was. And through this program, I have learned that discipline is God's love for me. And I am all in to having God be the one that disciplines me. Very simple, not easy, because I kick and scream at points in time. no, 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 but let's go this way. Let's do that way. The word I want to focus on right now is let, in terms of let God do. Like, how could I, this little human being, let God do anything? But as we've seen in the steps, I'm the one that has to speak. I'm the one that has to make the decision. I'm the one that has to do the work. God is here to take over and be with me through the process. And so I looked up the definition, let, and what really resonated with me was by not doing anything to stop an action or by giving my permission. I have to allow God. I don't let God really do anything. God does it all. God knows it all. But it's up to me to move out of my own way. And then I can work and do what has been so beautifully described and is being wrapped up right now in step 11. Bill was in the hospital soon after he had his epiphany. He immediately said, how can I help other people? And I have truly practiced every day, imperfectly, how can I help others? How can I be there for others? How can I zip my mouth, open these beautiful ears, and let God come in to help me serve others? And that's faith. But if my faith is not tied closely with energetic action to remove my defects by God's grace and be open and available to others, what's my purpose? What am I here for? And it's interesting to me, I noticed for the first time that we get a teaser, a little bit of the next chapter. I don't recall, and I might be incorrect, that any other chapter refers to the next, because we're in the now. I'm in the here and now to do the work that God has asked me to do. So I'm disciplined, thank you, God. It's simple. I will let God, and faith with work is what I strive for each and every moment of every day. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Judith. Appreciate it. All right, now we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share every third day. So you know the deal. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, allow others to get a chance to share. All right, what I need is your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Who's up?
Lisa Ann Wisconsin.
Rachel K. Rachel K.
Lisa, Rachel.
Genoa V, Nevada.
Genoa.
Sarah D.
Sarah, what was that again?
G as in girl.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
New York.
All right, New York. And I think there was a Sherry there, I think I heard.
Shanna C.
Oh, Shanna.
Ken W.
Ken.
North Carolina.
Yep, I got you. I thought I heard a Sherry, too. I thought I did hear that.
Terry S. in Wisconsin, yeah.
See, I'm not losing it. Well, maybe I am. Anyways. All right, thank you. Who else? All right, so we've got Lisa. I didn't get the first initial or last name where you were from. Rachel K., Genoa, Sarah, Shanna, Ken WH, and Sherry. Lisa, you're up.
Okay, thank you so much for your service this morning. And the last initial is N as in Nancy, and I'm from Wisconsin. And
all right, thank
I
you.
Just, you're so welcome. Good morning, everyone. And the word discipline, I always called it the D word, like it was a swear word, and I'd laugh and joke. But the truth is, I needed discipline so bad, and my life was just crazy. It was it was life on my terms and not on anyone else's or God's. I woke up in the morning and I did what I wanted. I ate what I wanted. I ate and I ate. And as the years went past, yes, I did. I ran from place to place. I ran shopping. I went to where I needed in my mind to buy clothes that were on sale. And I needed to buy makeup and I needed to get my hair done. It was all about me. And my life is so much different now. And I'm so grateful. And this morning I woke up and I thought about a lot of things that I needed to do. But I stopped and I said, God, I want you to take this day. I didn't use that word, but I said, I want you to tell me what to do because I have other things that pop into my mind all the time. And because I am naturally kind of undisciplined, I need to ask God's help to help me use the day properly, to use it right, to use it to glorify Him and not myself. So I guess that's all I've got. Thank you so much. Have a good day, everybody.
Thanks, Lisa. Next up is Rachel K., followed by Janoa.
Thanks, Russ. Hi, this is Rachel K. in Indiana, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you so much, Judith S.P. and Lisa, for your great shares. I feel like these two paragraphs, could be separated. We could talk about each one, and like the opening reader said, each sentence is so rich. But the thing about discipline, discipline does get sort of a bad rap, and I am undisciplined naturally. I mean, my natural state is to kind of be a blob, to kind of be a blob on the couch eating. God restores me to sanity, to being disciplined. And discipline is love. It really is love. If I have, I use this metaphor a lot, but, if I have a baby in the car, that baby wants to crawl around in the back seat and do what it wants to do, but I don't do that if I'm driving around. I don't have a baby. This is just a hypothetical. But what I do is I put that baby in a car seat so it's secure, so it has boundaries, so it has it has things that it bumps up against, yes, because it wants to crawl around. It might even cry and resist. But I put that baby in a car seat out of love. And that's what God does for me. That's what the 12 steps do for me. It gives me guidance out of love, out of protection. So I am not running around like a crazy chicken, of my own will. It gives me discipline throughout the day. God gives that to me if I let Him, and I love, and I'm just repeating, but that word let, if I let God discipline me. And that comes in many forms. It comes through restraint of tongue and pen. When I want to say what I want to say, when I want to say it, I pause. These instructions tell me to pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. And many times for me, that's asking those questions. Does it need to be said? Does it need to be said by me? And does it need to be said now? And unless the answer to all three of those is yes, then I keep my mouth shut. So much of this is just keeping my head down and following God's direction. Okay, what does the next 5 minutes look like, God? Everything after that looks overwhelming, but if I pause throughout the day, okay, God, what's the next 5 minutes? That's discipline. And just like any other discipline, just like learning to ride a bike or play the piano or the cello or whatever, it's practice. And I get better with practice. I'm better at this than I was a year ago. And hopefully a year from now, I'll be better at it than I am now. This program is a continual practice. Because I'm never going to be perfect at it. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. Have a good weekend, everybody. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rachel. Next up is Janoa V, followed by Sarah G.
Good morning, everybody. This is Janoa V, as in Victory, from Nevada. Thank you for getting us started. And, that focus on let was just amazing to me. But, you know, before I let God, I've got to surrender. And that's the thing that I've been focusing on and listening to different speakers talk about. And I just recently heard a speaker talk about surrender, and he used the analogy of, you know, a soldier. When a soldier surrenders, he puts down the gun, he sits down, and he waits for the next instructions. You know, it's an unconditional act. Compliance. So, you know, compliance is when I do something to get something. You know, I want to get the job back, the husband, whatever it is, you know. But today I have to surrender, and I have to surrender on a daily basis and many times throughout the day. So I've got to surrender before I can let God. Once I surrender, okay, now I'm in the place. And this is just what's been going on in my life. You know, I have finally realized, and I'm really, really am convinced that I'm nothing without God, the God of my understanding and that I believe in. I am nothing. I can do nothing. I'm not going to do right. I'm undisciplined. I'm so glad to hear others talk about being undisciplined, because for so long, I thought I was the only one. That it's like, if you give me free time, I don't know what to do with myself. You got to tell me what to do, you know. And I have just been, these past 24 days, I'm you know, restarted my abstinence. And these 24 days have been amazing. You know, it's taken every bite, every whatever, for me to be completely convinced 100% that I've got to have God. I've got to have God, because if I don't have God, I'm going right off the cliff. It's just who I am. It's how I'm made. And this is what I need. And faith without is dead. You know, action, action, action. So what are the actions that I'm taking for today? You know, am I surrendering to God? Am I praying and asking throughout the day? Am I making calls? Am I going to meetings? You know, am I trying to be of service to God? I don't know about anybody else, but I never thought about trying to be of service to God. And today, that's what I'm praying for. Go, God, show me where I can be used. And just to wrap up, I just recently had this experience where somebody at work, I was praying the resentment prayer, and I said, God, and at the end of it, I said, God, help me to be helpful to this person in any way I can. And that next day, I had to ask her for help 3 times. And I was walking down the hall. I said, well, God, I asked you to help me to be helpful to her, not me need her. And, you know, my sponsor said, wow, when I told her about it, she said, you know, maybe she needed you to ask her for help. Maybe that's where the need was. You know, God is just a bad boy, and he just shows out. And whenever I open myself to him, he really gives it all to me. I thank you guys for teaching me every day. Thank you for Team Friday. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Shanoa. All right, before Sarah jumps on, let me let you know where we're at. If you got on the meeting a little later, we're finishing up into action, page 88, second paragraph. We're reading two paragraphs, starting with alcoholics. We alcoholics are undisciplined. Oh, and ending with entirely devoted to the 12th step. Sorry for the marble mouth. All right, Sarah G, you're up.
Hi, good morning. This is Sarah G from New York. I'm so grateful to be here, and I'm so grateful that all of you are here. I couldn't do this without all of you. And so years ago, I read in a parenting book that what is disciple, we look at discipline and we think, okay, discipline, we're disciplining our children or discipline, you know, and it, as someone said, it has a bad rap. But the source of it is the word disciple, and I'm God's disciple. I need to learn from God. I'm his student. I'm his, whatever I need to do to direct my life, it has to come from God, because when it comes from me, I stay in the disease. And so that's one thing. And then the second thing is that, you know, as it says, but this is not all, there's action and more action. And, you know, my history in this program and relapsing is like, okay, I have God and I do believe in God. And but to put myself out there to reach out and to, you know, be of service, it was hard for me, really hard for me. And now I could say that when I'm doing outreach calls, it's part of the highlight of my day. And it strengthens my program. It gets, and through that, you know, through speaking to people, it gets me closer to God. And I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
All right, Sarah. Thank you. Shanna C's up next, followed by Kim W.H.
Good morning. This is Shanna C. Thank you, Russ, for your chairing the meeting and everyone who's read and shared. Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee through God's grace and mercy. I've been abstinent since September 30th of 2019, and for that I am truly grateful for that miracle. You know, and the first thing that popped into my head in reading this was how I never had to be taught to be obsessive. And this disease, this is my nature. I'm an obsessive person. And the cool thing is it never goes away. What happened in my experience is that God has, in his own way, let me know that you're exactly the way you're supposed to be. But what has happened is everything that I'm obsessing about was cast on one side, and that same obsession that I have is actually being used and enables me, because I've tapped into a power greater than myself, that power is using what my greatest defect is to actually follow his will. Who knew? Because I would get obsession mixed up with discipline. And self-propulsion, like self-propulsion and obsession and willpower, la, 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 you know, in my own strength, and wonder why I get frustrated. But in going through the steps and tapping into that power greater than myself, my defect becomes my asset. So thank God, you know, that I'm not cured of the disease, because it's the disease itself that enables me to follow the food plan, to feel the pain of this disease, which that in and of itself is the great persuader. The pain of the disease, which I feel more sensitively now, gets me on my knees to where I can abandon myself utterly to God daily, you know. And so where everything with my obsessive mind left to my own devices, it's this all or nothing thinking, like everything either seems to be a great idea and I can't decipher what to do, or everything seems to be a horrible idea and I can't decide what to do. And I'm that tornado, you know, that same energy and same tornado, once all the fluff is taken away and streamlined with these simple directions, that same energy is used to do this. I don't tire so easily. I'm able to like take that same energy and obsessive to go help others. And that's what is amazing to me, is I don't have to fix myself. God's using me the way I am because I'm aware and I'm able to go to God, and that same what occurs is now a blessing. My God, what this program, it changes that disease of perception. You know, and I'm so grateful that it's a daily reprieve. We get to do this daily. I get to do this daily. And it works. It really does. That's all I have.
Perfect timing. Next up is Ken W.H., followed by Sherry S.
Good morning, Russ. Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. When I read the part that basically says, tells me that I'm undisciplined, on my own, yeah, I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it, for whatever reason I want to do it. That's undisciplined. That's not following someone or something or an idea as a disciple. I like to, when I say that I'm undisciplined, I'm really saying that I'm being disobedient. As a kid, I followed, I was a disciple of my parents. they gave me the boundaries. They told me boundary that don't go near the stove. Well, I'm disobedient. I go to the stove, I touch the burner, and I get burnt. And I am then disciplined by the burner. And I'm disciplined by life ever since. I mean, just every day I'm disciplined in some way. I'm made aware of where I am disobedient. And when I'm disobedient, I pay a price. I always pay a price. But then it says, all I have to do is follow the simple kit, spiritual tools. I just have to follow the program. And I have. And in step three, I turned my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him. I became a disciple of that God and allowed myself to be disciplined by that power greater than myself. And over the course of time, I have become obedient to that path. And that path has been for my good always, always for the best for me. And having received that gift, the gift of being disciplined, the gift of becoming and being brought into discipleship, if you will, I have received the gift of faith. And it is purely a gift. Nothing I could have worked for or done would get me this kind of faith. God gave me the faith to become disciplined, to become obedient. And as a result, I have a whole lot of gift in me to pour out. And that's what the works part of faith without works is dead. It's all response to grace. I've been blessed to have been disciplined to a point of surrender. And I am now living in faith and joyfully working with others. And it's a gift. Thanks, Russ. Bang, I'll pass.
Thank you. Perfect timing there, Ken.
Okay.
Thank you. Next up is Sherry S., and then we'll take another list.
Hi, this is Sherry S. in Wisconsin. And I am a good addict. I'm undisciplined, so I'm either all the way out or I'm all the way in, to the point that I will be rigid and punishing to myself. You know, when it was a diet, I would either not be on a diet or I'd follow it so strict that I couldn't alter for it for one minuscule second, or I would punish myself. So what's nice about this discipline from God is He gives us steps to deal with that defect of selfishness, because I either don't want to do it at all or I'm going to do it 110% full speed ahead, which is harmful for me and harmful for others. So God gives us these steps to deal with that defect of selfishness. And, you know, so today I'm disciplined in a different way. I'll get my butt up early to pray and meditate and go to meetings, because that's God's direction, right? That's what God wants me to do. When I gave up my will in step three, I continue to work the steps. In step 11, He gives me His will. So my God direction and God discipline is completely different than what I do to myself. And when I get in that mode of, well, I need to do it my way, that's why I need to do a 10-step, because it doesn't work well. It never does. And then the action part is I need to continue to do this on a daily basis, because if I take God out of this, it's Sherry's will, and that never works. And faith without work is dead means I need to work with other people. I need to work with other people. And with working with other people, God keeps me humble and He keeps me honest. And that is the beautiful gift of this program, is we just follow these steps as outlined, let God lead us,
and work with others, and it works. It really does. And with that, I'll pass.
All right there, Sherry. Thank you. So now we're going to take another list for Sharon. We're finishing up Into Action, page 88, ending the chapter, the last two paragraphs. Who would like to share?
Priscilla.
Carolyn S. from New York.
Priscilla.
Carolyn S.
Wisconsin.
Hold on. I got Priscilla and Carolyn.
Rivka R.
Elena C.
Lucy B.
Rivka R. Elena. Who else? Who was that? Who was after?
Lucy B.
Okay.
Lucy. Lucy.
Lee H.
I think that's what we're going to be doing here. So I got Priscilla, Carolyn, Rivka, Elena, Lucy, and Lee. Hopefully we can get that, but I think we might. All right. Priscilla, you're up.
Okay, thank you so much. Priscilla H., recovering in New Jersey. this page has two words that I used to hate, frankly. The first time I ever read this book was in, I think, 1980. I wasn't in recovery. I was just, my particular job at that point in time involved me with some 12-step meetings, and so I read the book, and the two words that jumped out at me from this page that I really did not like were discipline and humbly. I didn't care for discipline at all. In fact, I lived most of my life doing everything I could to avoid being punished for anything. If there was a rule, I followed it. If there was not a rule that I was aware of, excuse me, I would do whatever in the hell I wanted to do. And so finally, fairly recently, after getting into this vision meeting, I think, I decided to look up those two words in my 10-pound paper dictionary. And I found a meaning for the word discipline that I like, and that is a particular teaching. The word discipline can be a verb, or it can be a noun, or it can even be an adjective, I think, but it's about a particular line. It can be about a particular line of study, like the graduate student devoted himself to the discipline of 19th century English literature or something like that. That's not me for sure. So discipline can be a particular line of study. And isn't that what we've got here? And then the word humbly, I hated that one too. Who wants to be humble? Certainly not me. I avoided that frame of mind as best I could. Well, I looked that one up in my dictionary also, and it turns out that humbly means, what do you know, being teachable. Those two words both are about being teachable. There are some other meanings that are very unpleasant for both of those words, but hiding in the middle of the long list of definitions I found about humbly being teachable and discipline being a teaching. And so I love those meanings, and that today is what it's all about with 12-step recovery. So thanks for letting me share. With that, I pass.
All right, Priscilla, thank you. Next up is Carolyn. I just got to get a question to show the last name of where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Carolyn S. from New York, a recovered compulsive overeater. The word discipline, I hate the idea of being disciplined, being limited or in a way punished. So that word does not sit well with me, but I did look up you know, the definition or the what is it made from? Okay, disciple is the root. And in the Greek world, it means one who engages in learning through instruction from another, a pupil, an apprentice. So a disciple in the ancient world actively imitated the life and teaching, I'm still reading, of the master, a deliberate apprenticeship, both life and teachings of the master. So it's an apprenticeship. It's not, you know, discipline in my mind in the ancient sense of, you know, taking out a belt and hitting somebody. That's not what this discipline is. I would consider that abuse anyway, not discipline. But what this is, you know, God helping us to understand better. You know, he's teaching. That's where it comes from. The disciples learned and imitated Jesus, if you, you know, go back. So for me, I have to shift my idea of discipline to one of learning, to a positive term that encourages me to grow and to be more in my higher powers, in his appearance and actions. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Next up is Rivka R., followed by Elena C.
Good morning, everyone. This is Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. Thank you, Russ, for your service and all the amazing shares. So in my book, I have, you know, how God disciplines me. And I had written many times a day, thy will be done, please direct my thinking. And that was the hardest thing for me to say in this book. I couldn't say it for years. I couldn't get it out of my mouth, thy will be done. I wanted my will done so badly. And when I finally, you know, after I came back 4.5 years ago, that was the first thing that I worked on. That I had to say that. I had to discipline myself to say thy will be done and not be scared of it. You know, and I heard something on the line that just so rocked my world, you know. Somebody shared, you know, I don't like your plan, but I trust your plan. And it was the first time that I really began to understand that my not trusting was such a huge issue. And that's what I really needed to discipline myself to see in my life, that I could trust God. You know, and needing discipline, of course, with my food, I needed discipline. I was so crazily out of control with food. I mean, it was just absolutely, absolute insanity. And I tried for years to discipline myself around food, but, you know, that didn't work for more than a few days or hours at most. Because that was like trying to discipline myself to breathe underwater. I mean, there's no way I can discipline myself to breathe underwater. But this program that led to the humility, the trust, the honesty, where I could really, my perception could change. You know, being a I love all the talk about being a disciple. You know, what that means is that I can step back. I can be teachable. I can, you know, I thank God that I have humility in my perception today. That I can perceive things differently. I need discipline in my thinking, how I perceive things. Because, you know, it's not that I'm a victim anymore and you're to blame. You know, it's that, well, whoa, things that are happening are for my benefit because Hashem, God wants me to grow. He wants me to connect. He wants to give me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And that's what I get through this program, through this willingness to be the disciple, to be, you know, to blossom in my bringing God into my life in a way that is with a trust and a connection. And thank you, everyone, for being here, and I pass. Hello.
All right, Rivka, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I'm toggling the phone today. I usually have the timer on the computer. I'm sorry about that. Next up is Lena C., followed by Lucy B.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina. And just like I'm going to jump in and maybe repeat what everybody else was saying, a lot of people were saying the word discipline that jumped out at me. And it really comes from Latin, and it's discipulus and or disciplina, meaning instruction, knowledge, meaning to train people to follow rules or a code of behavior. And then also says using punishment or consequences to correct disobedience. So now let me see how I can apply it to me. So what does that mean to me? Meaning that I need someone, an entity, to call my disciple, right? To call somebody who can train me. And that person would be my higher power. But also, there's many other learn from. And what are those rules? Those rules are the steps of recovery. Rules of conduct. They're rules of conduct because I take action with the steps. And, you know, I was very undisciplined in my food. I was very undisciplined in my relationship and so forth. Why? Because I was by myself. I was running the show. I was doing what Elena wants to do, you know, just follow Elena's rules. With Elena, everybody had to listen to me and understand me and me. And that was the undisciplined. So with the 12 steps of recovery, I shift my focus from my finite self onto my infinite world of God. And what does that mean? My infinite world of God is the world around me. And then that is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. If I look outside right now, I see the clouds. I see the trees. I see the greenery. I see the, you know, I see homes built that, with all the work of God through people. And so if I follow these rules, the 12 steps of recovery, I go to 12 steps. And the ultimate rule to follow is to help other people. And I can help other people, like, all the time. It's not only my sponsees, it's people around me. How am I of service to God's children? So, and then I also, most importantly, I help others by setting an example. You know, setting an example and living in the 10-11 step first before I help others. I need to look at myself, do my part in my relationship with my higher power. Yeah. And I teach people by just taking care of me and staying close to God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Elena. Next up is Lucy B., followed by Lee H.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Lucy B. from Florida. Thank you, Russ and Team Friday, for your service in running this meeting this morning. I just love the order of this book, the sequence of thoughts that are brought to us on the page. You know, right after we read It Works, It Really Does, come these two little paragraphs with three words that really jumped out to me this morning. And those words are discipline, action, and faith. And then this idea that faith without works is dead. So the spiritual discipline leads me to take action. And those actions describe, in the physical world, my faith. If faith without actions, without works is dead, you know, the faith I talk about is not really completely alive. The faith that I think about is not completely alive. Even the faith that I feel isn't completely alive until it's backed up with these actions. You know, the only faith that's truly alive is that faith that is backed up by these disciplined actions that were taught in the steps. And I just love the way that all falls together for me, because I can, you know, in the disease before recovery, I lived in a world in my mind. I had great intentions. You know, I had faith in God. I had this whole thing going on in my head, but not until I come into recovery, not until I let go of the food, does that channel between me and my higher power open up, and I get to actually describe my faith to you by what I'm doing, by my actions in the physical world, you know, by working 10, 11, and 12, by, like the previous speaker said, by being some kind of an example. When I was in grade school, I went to a religious school, and at one point there was sort of a promotion, and the idea was if you were going to be persecuted for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You know, and the idea was, does your faith show itself in how you carry yourself and what you do? So I just love the way this chapter is ending and we're moving into step 12. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Lucy. Next up is VH. It looks like you'll probably be our last share.
Well, thank you so much, Russ, for letting me share just for a second or two this morning. There's so many great shares. This is Lee H. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater in Tennessee. And, yeah, there's so much in these last couple of little paragraphs. And I, too, I'm focused on letting God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined, because we alcoholics are undisciplined. And in the previous paragraph, it explains what the undisciplined looks like. And that's where I used to be, is living in, you know, this excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, and foolish decisions, and then burning up energy foolishly. You know, we have just a whole, you know, world of these people that have gone before us, you know, that have proved that this works. And I just love that, you know, there is evidence that if we just follow this simple way of living, that we will, you know, be useful to God. And to me, that's what being disciplined is about, is that we let God discipline so that we can share in his work. And I'm just so grateful for that. I had to make a call yesterday because I was really fearful. We have a river right behind our house that is rising, and we're going to get more rain. And I just lived in my head all day yesterday. And finally, just, you know, God showed me I need to make a phone call. And so I did. And just, it's amazing how he uses all of us people to help us rise out of our disease. And otherwise I really could have gone to the food. And I'm just so grateful today that I didn't, and that that fellow really helped me to get back into alignment with God. And so I'm really grateful today, and am, you know, just going to look forward to what God has for me today. And I thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Lee. Thanks for your share. You're going to be our last share. We thank everybody who shared on the meeting today. So please stick around for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing after the Serenity Prayer. So let me give you today's share ID. So Friday, April 4th, 2025, to 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. It's 22,316. So 22,316. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. I think I would know the script already. Nancy R. is going to read that for us.
Hi, Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater from Northwest Illinois. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come, even if the answers will come, if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and